Good morning. When Yisroi came to Klal Yisrael, and he saw that from morning until night, Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting and judging Klal Yisrael and dealing with all of their Dinei Torah, so he said that he told them, "Loitoyv hadavar asherato." He said, "Novel tibol gamata gamomazeh." Yisroi said that the burden to deal with every one of Klal Yisrael's Dinei Torah and disputes is too great for even a Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, what he suggested is that they appoint Dayanim, Sarei Alofim, Sarei Meyos, Sarei Chamishim, Sarei Asaros. Now, if you do a little quick math, it comes out there were an awful lot of Dayanim. There were roughly 13.1 for every 100 people. That's about every 8 members of Klal Yisrael was a Dayan. Now, if you think about it, Klal Yisrael, we're in the Midbar. It's unlikely there was much in the way of complex masa umata and import and export. So why were they so busy with Dinei Torah? What exactly were they fighting about? Well, Yisrael seems to be discussing Chesh Mishpat, if you look at the Pesukim. Now, I don't know the answer to the question. I don't know the particulars of what they were fighting about, but I think one thing is very clear, that if a nation wants to live with the Dvar Hashem, and they want to follow halacha in all aspects of their lives, a lot of questions are going to come up. Now, this leads to a very obvious question. Where are all the shailas today? Now, I don't know exactly the ratio today of dayanim to people, but it's certainly not 1 to 8, it's certainly not 1 to 80. The number is certainly much lower. So vaistais, people are reaching their own conclusions and perhaps not thinking as much as they should or not asking as much as they should before being involved in their masa umata. So I think this just brings out the importance of spending at least once a week, a few moments in the morning to go through some of the halachos of Chayshim Mishpat. And perhaps at least people will at least know what to ask. Now, actually, another point that's interesting is, vaisoyis to be a dayan, 1 out of every 8 people in Klal Yisrael were qualified. You don't have to be some great Eloi, you don't have to be some great genius. 1 out of 8 people were qualified to at least deal with the local questions. So certainly, if a person spends a bit of time and makes an effort, he can become familiar with the halachas that he needs to know on a daily basis. Now, we're in the middle of the Inyan of a Dovra Avod, and to do a very quick recap, when you hire a worker, an employer is only locked into the contract once the job begins. However, if, because of his job offer, an employee gives up other opportunities, and now, when you rescind the offer, it's too late, you've caused the worker a loss, there, you're responsible to pay. Whether it's Gani or Davar Avod, the Lumdus is a separate issue, but you've caused a loss, you've got to pay. And the flip side as well, although we've learned that Poyol Yochel Lachzer Bay B'Chatzi HaYoyim, an employee is not a slave. Whenever he wants to, he is free to quit his job. But by Davar Avod, if by quitting he's going to cause a loss, he is not allowed to back out. As we explained, a loss can either be a financial loss, or it can be simply the fact that what you hired him for will not be accomplished. If you hire a musician to play at a chasana, and an hour before the wedding he decides he's not showing up, so it's a davar ha'avod, there's no financial loss, there's no music at the wedding, you're not going to lose any money, your mechutane may not speak to you for a couple of years, but life will go on. But still, since it's a davar ha'avod, you will not be able to accomplish what you hired him for. The halacha is he does not have the right to back out. If he does back out, so the halacha is soicher aleim oimaton. You can either fool him, you can tell him, come, show up, I'll give you $10,000, you can promise him whatever you want, and then when the job's over, you tell him, I don't owe you a penny, I'm going to pay you the original contract amount, because you had no right to back out, and therefore, if I had to fool you to stop you from doing an isser, to stop you from backing out, I had the right to do so. The alternative is you can go hire someone else, And even though there's, if there's someone available at the same price, you just hire them. But if you even if you have to pay a premium, you can pay that extra, and then whatever extra you paid this replacement, you can bill the original worker. He didn't have the right to back out, and therefore he was responsible for the loss that he caused. Now this halacha is not unlimited. As we learned, it's only akidei scharim. A worker's liability when he backs out is limited to the amount he was going to get paid. If it was a $10,000 job and he walks out, so his liability is you can pay another worker up to $20,000 and bill him $10,000. What he was going to earn if he did the job, you can penalize him if he walks off the job. But more than his original schar, if the only worker available now is asking for $30,000 for the job, you will not be able to do. His liability is limited. The exception to this halacha is if the worker came to do the job, the contractor came, he dropped off his tractor, and it's sitting on your property. Since you are a teifis, you are holding on to his tools, you're a muchzik on it, the halacha is you can take the tools, and the complete value of the tools you can use to find a replacement worker. So even though it's more than the original schar, you're allowed to take anything that he gave to you. It's machlokes whether it means only his tools or either other money, but the shach paskins, any money that the employer has that belongs to the worker, he can use to hire a replacement worker.
So what is the case of the musician? Why can he could pay a premium and then
he could pay a premium, but only ad kidei scharon. You know, it's if he was going to get paid $1,000 for the job, you can find another musician and pay them up to $2,000. You pay him the $1,000 you're going to pay anyway, and you pay him an extra $1,000 that you can bill the first worker. But if the replacement is $2,500, that extra $500 you're going to have to pay out of pocket. There's a limit to the liability.
Up to double.
Ad kidei scharon, exactly. Up to double. Now, ma'aseh shehoyo kachoyo. Someone hired a contractor to build an addition on their house. They gave him a very firm deadline, 6 months. The contractor said, no problem, we'll have it done in 3 months. And Kedarkam, what the contractor then went ahead, he took on another 12 other jobs. He was busy juggling. And a month before the deadline, the homeowner sits down with the contractor and reads him the Riot Act and says, listen, you have a month left. What's going on? The contractor was very apologetic. He said, I apologize. It was an oversight, and gave all the excuses in the book. But he said, the bottom line is, for me to finish it in a month is not really, at this point, is not really doable. The only way for me to get it done is I'm going to have to go ahead and use my connections with the inspection department. I'm going to have to use a lot of political capital. I'm going to have to work people very hard. And I'm not prepared to do that. Unless you pay an extra $5,000. The homeowner had no choice. He agreed. The contractor, not being a fool, asked for the money up front, which he gave. And then, a month later, the job was done. They come to a din Torah. Does the contractor have to give back the $5,000? What do you say? Yes. So the answer is, it depends. The first question we have to deal with is it a davar ha'avod? Now everyone agrees there was a deadline. It had to be done by this particular date. But just because I made a deadline doesn't mean it's a davar ha'avod. What am I losing if we missed the deadline? So you have to look at the case. If that deadline coincided, you're making a simcha the next day, and you need this addition to put up all of your guests, that's a davar ha'avod. You're hiring them because you want this. You need the room to make the simcha to host these people. If it's not done by then, you won't be able to host. That's a davar ha'avod. If there's some financial loss, it's a business, and this is you have to open before this season, and if you miss the season, there'll be a hefsid. Also, clearly a davar ha'avod. But if it's nothing more than an artificial deadline, certainly the contractor who gave his word has to honor his word. But it doesn't become a davar ha'avod just because there's an artificial date written in the contract. So if there's no shot in this date, there's not a davar ha'avod, then while the contractor had an obligation to do what he said to do, you did not necessarily have the right to be mad to him. And once you paid him extra, the halacha is he's not going to have to refund that.
Okay.
Okay, so a penalty will be in a separate issue that we're going to discuss when we learn the sugya of asmachta, when it is, when it is, and when it isn't. But that's, you know, if there's a penalty, then that's the recourse. But this negotiation, the fact that he offered him more money, it will depend. We'll have to determine, is it a davar avod?
Why do I have to tell you this? In other words,
okay.
If you write a contract,
so it happens to be. Again, I don't want to go into this completely, but it happens to be that when you have a deadline, when you have a date in a contract, according to many poskim, that is not assumed to be a tenai. It's lahavdil, just like in a goyish contract, you have to send a time of essence letter. You have to make it clear that this deadline is real. In the absence in halacha as well, there's a chazadish that discusses it in the Taz that says that we don't assume that it becomes a tois just because the date is off. You will have cases where it is, where you make it clear and where there is a, but not necessarily. Okay, wait, hold on. No, let's. I don't want to get too bogged down. This is just an example. We're talking about Hilchos Tzliras Poilim. What? So again, to the extent that a zman, that a date is not considered a tenai, it's just a date, then the fact that you missed it is not a breach of contract. If it says very clearly it needs to be done and there's a kpeid and time of essence, then it might be a mavatal the contract. And then you'll have to deal with it as a yoyrid, which will, you know, which may help and may hurt. Then you'll have to deal with it as if he did the work without a contract. But that's an extreme case. Most cases where it just says a completion date, it doesn't specify anything about it or make it clear that this is a tenai or that this is make it or break it, we wouldn't say that.
So if I said that, $100,000,
well, again, if it is a material breach of the contract, and then you'll have to deal with it as a yoyrid. How much a yoyrid gets paid, that's a separate sugya, which we can't. No, it's a form of extortion. So he'd be entitled to get it. If it is a davar avod, he would get it back. Now that's the first thing we have to look at. Is it a real davar avod, or is this just artificial? The person wants to get it over with. He wants to just move on with life. The next issue that you have to look at is, for a davar avod, you know what you need. In typical case, you know, let's go to the case of a doctor's appointment, where you make an appointment and then you cancel it. Now over there, you're only responsible to pay if, had you not made the appointment, somebody else would have. So then, when you make it and you cancel, you've caused a loss. What happens if, anyway, the doctor is just starting out, there's plenty of open slots, and he wouldn't have filled the slot anyway? It's not a davar avod. Now, if we apply that to the flip case, to our situation, it's only a davar avod, according to Shulchan Aruch, if, when you hired the contractor 6 months ago, so if he wouldn't have taken the job, you would have found someone else who wasn't quite as lazy and wasn't as schlepped out, and he would have completed the job on time. However, if there was no one else available who could have gotten the job done in this time frame, then the fact that he said, I will do it, and then he changed his mind, doesn't create a davar avod. Because you're right, there may be a davar avod, but that loss is a foregone loss. There's no one, it can't be done. The fact that someone falsely raised your hopes and then backed out would not create a davar avod. Now this psak is a bit controversial. The Talmid HaRashba, which the Shach quotes, argues. And basically what he says is, it's one thing when you're dealing with a worker. If a worker doesn't have a job, you promise him a job and take it away, you haven't caused a loss. Because if you're unemployed, you're unemployed. There's not much you can do to create a job. It's not under your control. In the flip case, if a person needs to get a job done, Talmid HaRashba says, by hook or by crook, you're going to figure out a way to do it. If there's no one local who'll do it, you'll go to the next town and find another worker. You'll pay two people. You'll hire two people at the same time. People figure out ways to get their jobs done. You know, if there's a hole in your roof and there's a blizzard tomorrow, you're going to find an etzah. And therefore, the Talmid HaRashba says, in this case, when a worker backs out, and now the employer is left holding the bag, there we always assume if the worker wouldn't have made a commitment, he would have found someone else, and it will always be considered a davar avod. Now, it is a machlokes. The Shach brings says it's a seker d'dina. La halacha, in the very least, when it's a suffix, when it's not clear, could you have found a contractor to do it in this time frame or not? when they eat, in the case of a Safek Yarech HaShulchan Paskins, we will say the worker is Chayiv. Even though normally HaMoitzi Mechayi of Araya, over here, if it's unclear whether you could have found someone else or not, the worker is going to have to pay. So then, and now you have to pay, now the worker is saying, either pay me double or I'm walking away. So that's not a davar avod, because he hasn't caused you a loss.
So this was where...
That was, for example, what we discussed last week is a volunteer that backs out. The Ramah says, even by a davar avod, a volunteer can walk off the job. So the Shach says, that if you agree to pay him, he has to finish. It's only that you... Now, the way the Mepharshim, the Nesivus explains, is that since, if he wouldn't have volunteered, you had to pay someone. So now that he's walking off and saying, I'm only going to continue if you pay me, that's not a davar avod. Because you end up, the end result is the same as if he would have never volunteered. So if he's an echrami, you always look at how much it would have cost if he wouldn't have taken the job in the first place.
Why can't the worker kind of that if it was so important to him that I quote, if the loss was such a problem then, why didn't you have to find somebody?
I found someone. I found you. And you told me you would do it. So now that you told me to do it, I trusted you, I hired you. I didn't hire someone else because you came in and you said you're going to get the job done.
But then he said he's not doing it.
A month before the end, he said, now I'm not going to do it unless you pay me extra money. At this point, it's a davar avod. Okay, but now... That's true. And going forward, you can pay him the going rate. Anachami. Going forward, he would if he's asking for, if he's not causing a loss, anachami. Now, just to address your point a little bit more, that is that by every case of davar avod, there's one last ingredient. Your accountant quits on April 15th. Davar avod, right? You have to file by the end of the day. If there's a glut of unemployed accountants, and you have the ability to find someone else who can come in and get the job done in a day, it no longer has a din of davar avod. It may be a davar avod if you don't take care of it. But since there's another option, there are other workers available, the first accountant has every right to quit and walk off the job. Now here also, the burden of proof is on a worker. The worker quits and says, and then claims it's not a davar avod because you can find someone else to step in my shoes and to finish the job, the worker has the burden of proof that there was someone else available. Since it is a clear davar avod, it is clear that if it doesn't get done, there'll be a loss. If you want to claim there was a way to mitigate that loss, the responsibility is on the workers, and otherwise, he is going to be responsible to pay. Now, what happens by a davar avod if the employer doesn't hire a replacement? He doesn't. Halacha is soich alei me'mat, and he can fool a person to work or he can hire another replacement. What happens if he doesn't? What is the after the fact? What's the recourse? Now, in a davar avod, which is not dealing with financial loss, if you have a band or musician that notifies you a few hours before the wedding that they're not going to be showing up, the wedding goes forward, there's no music, the halacha is nothing. There's no recourse. If you would have wanted to hire someone else, you could have hired someone else. If it would have cost extra, you can send the first person the bill. But after the fact, there was no music at the wedding. There was no financial loss. So certainly the worker did an avla. He did an iser. He has to ask a mechila. But there's no dollars and cents penalty. The concept of punitive damages does not exist in halacha. He hasn't caused you a financial loss. So the solution has nothing to do with financial. It's an avla. He has to ask a mechila. He has to do tshuva. But we can't make you pay since there was no financial loss.
There's no value put on
enjoyment
that is an intangible. Embarrassed?
No. If it happens to be, it's a grama, emotional pain and suffering and these kind of things. Bidei Shemayim, you'll have to deal with it. But in Beis Din, there's no such thing. It's even the boishes is a grama at most. So there's no chiyuv in Beis Din. For punitive damages, that's something that's, you know, that's an American chiddush, but in halacha, if you cause a hefsid, you pay. If there's no damage, the fact that it's unpleasant or the fact that he did something wrong doesn't mean there's a financial solution.
It's only by chayv.
What?
Only by chayv, there is a chadash.
By chayvo, that's bright and that's baish, that's direct, that's mazik biyadayim, by a gromo where it's not going to apply. Okay, I stand corrected. Thank you. So now that's in a case where there's no hefsed mamon. What happens if there is a financial loss? Your accountant quits on April 15th, and now the IRS is coming after you for penalties for filing late and interest and all sorts of penalties. So here, it seems to be a machlokes. The way the Nesivos understands, the Mechaber says that you're potter, and the Ramah says that you're chayiv. Now this leads us to a very basic problem. We said before, what happens if a worker backs out by a davar avod, and you have to hire a replacement? How much are you allowed to pay the new worker to come in? How much liability does this first worker have? So he explained it's capped. His liability is atidei scharon, however much he was supposed to get paid. Frech the nesivos, wait a second. The accountant quits. Had he done the job, he would have gotten paid, let's say, $2,000. If the returns are not filed on time, I'm going to get hit with a $10,000 penalty. Now, if I get hit with a penalty, according to the Ramah, I can pass along that bill to the accountant. So how does it make sense that I can only spend $1,000 or $3,000 to hire a replacement? If I don't hire a replacement, the accountant's going to end up paying $10,000. Doesn't make sense. I should be able to spend as much as possible to avoid hitting the worker with a bill. Zakhli Nesivos, it must be that whenever we talk about this limitation, either we're going according to the opinions that hold you're not responsible for damages, or it's a davar avod she'eino shamamun. You're dealing with a band, a musician, there the liability is capped. Whatever you are going to earn, that's how much you have to pay to hire a replacement. But in a case where, by you quitting, you're going to cause a loss, and you're going to be responsible for the loss, so then clearly the employer can spend as much as possible up to the amount that he's going to lose to prevent that from happening, and the first person is going to get stuck with the complete bill. Now, I'd like to go on a little bit of a tangent, but on a related topic. But I'd like to talk about what liability does a worker have? If you have an employee, he's working and he causes damage, when is he responsible to pay and what is he responsible to pay? Now, in general, we have a rule, adam wad la'olam. If you cause damage, you're responsible. Ben chagig, mimezid, oynis, ratzin. Mishnah seems to say a person causes damage, he's always liable to pay. Now, halacha, according to many Rishonim, in oynis gomor, or even in oynis kein geneva, by an adam hamazik is pater. A real oynis, even by adam hamazik, is pater. However, the moment you accept money for a job, the moment you're paid to do something, here already there are more chiyuvim, whether it's shemer sachar or garmi, that's a sugya in siman shenvav. But the moment you get paid for a job, you're responsible. Unless it's mamish and oynas gomer, it's something that couldn't have been avoided in any way, you're going to be liable for any damage that you cause. And therefore, poyalim that are paid to do their job have a very high level of liability. Now, what happens if you hire a worker to do a job? Now, clearly, if he's mazik, he takes the item, you have a tailor, and he rips the material, he rips the suit. Clearly, he's a mazik, be a dime, he has to pay. What happens if he just doesn't do his job correctly? And because of that, the employer doesn't lose money, but they don't earn the profits they should have made. They've lost profit. It's not a hefsid, there's no money out of pocket. But had he done his job correctly, he would have closed the deal. There would have been a $50,000 profit. Now that he was negligent, he overslept, he didn't do what he was supposed to do, the deal fell through. Now normally, as we've mentioned before, that's mavatal kisa shel chaveiro. That's only a gram. There's no chiyuv to pay. You're not a mazik. A worker is different. And here we have a mishnah that we saw in the Maror Mekoymis this morning, and that if you hire a worker to work a field, and he's negligent, he does not plant in the field, halacha is he has to pay. Based on this, the Nesivos, the Ramah, and the Chasam Sofer Paskin, every worker who is negligent has to pay his employer all the profits that the employer would have earned. It's a tremendous chumrah that applies only to workers. And this is a psak of, again, it's a nesivus, it's a ritvach, some sefer, and it seems to be the sheet of the Rama. Now, halacha, many poskim argue on this. The Nachlas Tzvi and the Chazanish point out that if you look at the Mishnah that says that if you don't plant a field, you're liable for lost profits, Mishnah ends off, shekach kosevloi. The norm was, when you accepted a job, you wrote, if I don't do my job, I'm going to pay you everything you should have earned. So, zogt the Chazon Ish, this extra liability is only if you specifically accept in liability. Although, you don't have a kinyan, and although maybe in this case it was forget you didn't write it, but if the norm is for a worker to take such liability, you're responsible. However, in a regular case, in the absence of any clear minog, in absence of any clear agreement, a worker is only responsible for hezek, direct damage that he caused, masha'en kein, just lost profits, the Chazon Ish paskins, you would not have a chiyuv to pay. Hezek means out of pocket. There's something that I had and now it's damaged, now it's destroyed. That's a loss. Lost profits are, we invested $30,000 into these goods, into whatever this was. Had everything worked out, had the worker done what he was supposed to, it would have now been worth $50,000. So there's $20,000 of potential profits. There's $30,000 of actual hefsedim involved. Yeah, you'd have to look at how direct it is, because in many cases it would be, but in a specific deal, if there's a deal that's about to close, and because of because he didn't do his job, now the deal fell apart, that is lost profits. Now, there was a case that we dealt with recently. There was a nursing home that had a third-party provider that provided certain services and certain goods, and this third party billed Medicaid directly. The government paid for both, reimbursed the nursing home for the cost of the goods and a certain level of profit. Now, the way it was structured is that every month the nursing home paid the third-party provider for the cost of the goods, and then when it got the reimbursement, they kept whatever came in. Now, one day they realized that there was a fairly large operation. There was actually a whole group of nursing homes, and they realized that for the past 5 years, three of the nursing homes, that the provider never bothered billing Medicaid. And at this point, it was too late to go back. So there were hundreds of thousands of dollars of services that should have been billed that weren't. So the question is, what's the liability? So there really, if you think about it, there are two parts to the question. The first part is the actual hefsedim. The nursing home paid to buy certain items that the government was supposed to reimburse them for those payments, for those goods. On that, that is a hefsed, because that's something which there was money out of pocket, which they would have recovered. Because of the negligence of this worker, they didn't recover. And therefore, on the hefsedim, l'kulayama, the worker would be responsible to pay. I would have to reimburse them for all of the money they didn't get. The third party. On the other hand, there's a second issue here, and that is, had they done the work correctly, they would have gotten all the full reimbursement, which would have included a nice, hefty profit margin. On that aspect, that's not a question of a loss. That's a question of minyas harevach. So over here, according to the Ritva, the Nesivos, and the Ramah, and the Chazam Sofer, the worker would be responsible for all of that profit that should have been earned. According to the Chazon Ish and others, no. It's one thing to have to pay for actual damage. To pay for lost profits, there the Chazon Ish says you... What? Shemir Sacher, right. This is all Maker Hadin. However, the Gemara says that when you hire a worker, Akopan Lifnim Meshuras Hadin, you are not supposed to bill a worker for damage that he caused. Apid Halacha, you have the right to. But Lifnim Meshuras Hadin, the person is a payel. He's trying to help out. He's working for you. And therefore, the Gemara in Daf Pei Gimel says that Lifnim Meshuras Hadin, you should be moichel a worker for damage that he caused. Now, it's a very big nesayin, especially for employers, but it's something which you should be aware of, and you know it happens all the time. There was a case recently where it was a sofer. He was looking over a few mezuzahs. He had a drill on the table. He got up. He knocked over the drill by mistake, and it slashed through two or three mezuzahs. Al pi halacha, he is a pesheya. He was a shomer sachar. He has to pay. But lifnei mishuras hadin, the right thing to do is to be moichel on the workers. Even more, the Gemara says, if a worker is pesheya, not only should you be moichel and not charge him for the hezek that he caused, if he's an ani, you should even pay him for the time that he worked for you. Now again, it's clearly lifnei mishuras hadin. You can't be mechayiv. It's not something a bezin can enforce. But the right thing to do, lifnei mishuras hadin, is to compensate him for his work. If he did the damage on purpose, that's a different story. But lifnei mishuras hadin, he should get paid. Well, just one. Now this is just another example. We had a few times where halacha is very concerned with poilim. We learned about talin. Not paying a worker on time is treated very seriously in halacha, more so than any other debts. That's halacha over here. That if a worker is mazik, you're not supposed to charge him. You're supposed to pay him for his wages. We find many times the Torah was very concerned with poilim and very much looked out for their well-being. So when there is an issue or a sichsuch between an employer and employee, you should keep in mind that at least the hashkafa shabai, it seems that there's a very strong bias to help out the workers. Okay, again, the case of the sofer was it happened to have been an in-house. He worked for a sfarim store. Does it make a difference between a poil and a kavlan? I don't know offhand. I don't know that there's a difference. I don't know if the point is because he's your poil. The point is that he's working for you. But well, I don't have a Mara Malcolm. It's a good point. Excuse me? Okay, ani is only brought down in the second point. Paying him his wages, so there, that's only brought down, the Gemara talks about it, by an ani. As far as whether you should bill him for the damage, again, I don't see a difference in halacha between a pile and the kavla. Okay, in lifnei mishuras sadin, you have the right to make these cheshbonos. You know, if halacha is a halacha, but if it's in the realm of lifnei mishuras sadin, if he's an asher and the person who gave is an ani, so it could be he's not holding by lifnei mishuras sadin. Well, that's the case. They hired him for the hour, for the day. So even though they damaged the item, still the lifnei mishuras hadin was to pay them for that time that they were trying to work. Now, after they broke it, and now there's nothing to do, you know, I would imagine there's no lifnei mishuras hadin on that. They're no longer working for you. Right. So that's a case where he was mishana, where he changed it. He was pesheya. And there the halacha is, because he breached the contract, you don't pay him the original amount, you pay him the shvach or hitzah, whichever one is less. There, in that case, he's actually getting paid, he's just getting paid the minimal amount. Now, if he is an ani, and you have that lifting mishuras hadin, that'll be a separate shmuz. Right, thank you.